Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it is 8:13, and Dean Richards joins us now. It's more on entertainment. Good morning, Dean. That's great. Me too.
No, it's right here.
Oh, here it is.
I'm right here. I forgot to turn the microphone on.
You know, that'll happen.
You know, we have new... Remember the other day it was shorting out, and I was almost electrocuted. I was almost killed.
Sure. You're lucky to be alive every day on the show.
In a freak accident, I was almost killed. They replaced everything that was shorting out. And now it's all just, you know, it's like upset my routine.
Did they huff and puff and talk about how difficult it was to get it done?
No. Very, very helpful, very cooperative.
Because, you know, that's a standard engineering move at times.
Sometimes it is, but not with our WGN engineers.
What do you mean you need a pen?
No. You ask an engineer if you need a pen?
We can't get that done.
Somebody get an electrical engineer. I need a pen.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. I'd like to see the look on their face if I ask them for a pen.
Do you remember the engineer that we had? He was named Ron Cohn.
Sure, of course.
And
the late great.
He always had at least 50 pens in his pocket.
He literally had a shirt pocket pen protector situation.
Right? Seriously?
Yeah, and he had an entire Staples.
Yep.
Office Depot, Office Max,
in his pocket.
Pocket protector.
Yeah. And he always had a short sleeve white shirt.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Very well dressed every day.
Yep. Very, very nice.
So he looked like the guy, the IT guy on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Anything you needed, you called Ron and he would have it for you within 5 minutes.
Now, you occasionally did have to put up with a joke.
He would tell you a joke. That's true.
I'm guessing it wasn't. Aww. He wasn't a great joke teller.
Not so much, but he was a nice, very sweet man.
He was adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, Ron.
Sometimes we heard it more than once, but right. That was okay.
Right.
Because we laughed again.
Very nice man. He started here in 1811.
Right. Radio wasn't even invented yet.
No. But.
We hear from him once in a while too.
Ron Cohn, he's gone.
What?
Ron's dead, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
This is awkward.
I may have just stepped in it.
Because the way you were talking about him, it sounded like he was gone.
I thought he passed.
Yeah, I think he might be. Well, no, I don't know.
Okay, well, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. And I hope it's you that's right.
I do, too. I know Bob Bros is still with us. He's another legend.
Yes, we've had
many legendary engineers.
Right. And some not so much.
Okay. Did I ever tell you about the engineer? I won't mention his name. But he threatened to kill me like my first night.
Oh, what happened?
He wanted to strangle me.
Yeah, but why?
He did not like... this will give you an idea of how long ago the young bloods were coming into WGN.
Wow.
That I'd come from, you know, other radio stations.
Sure, who are you to come in here?
I wasn't deserving to be on WGN, right. Which maybe he may have been 100% correct, but he did threaten to kill me.
Did you say, well, thank you for the welcome?
Very nice to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, did he threaten you via body language or did he say something?
No, he said something and body language. He was a very big, very, very big man, very imposing and scary.
Wow. Kudos to you for getting through the show.
Let me tell you something.
I know who it was.
You can handle yourself.
Dave probably remembers him.
You can handle yourself. By the way, was that guy removed immediately?
No, not at all.
No, because those are different times. He has a nice pension.
Those were different times.
Yeah.
All right. So, 9/11 on the radio that morning. At that point, I was doing a midday show here. It was shortly after I started at GN, and I had this weird shift that would start at like 12:35 after the noon show.
12:35
and go to 3.
Right. Yeah, that was a weird. It was like a weird schedule you had.
Yeah, and there were times when the Cubs would play a 1:20 game where I would literally be on the air for 7 or 8 minutes.
And then he's not kidding.
Pregame. Not kidding.
Didn't you follow Paul Harvey?
I did.
Yeah.
They needed a closer.
You had to make sure those 7 minutes counted when you knew there was a game?
Oh, I gave them the best 7 minutes of their lives. But here's the thing. On that day, after the second plane hits, you know it's for real. I remember the Pentagon being hit, and I thought, I got to get the kids from school. My kids were 13 and 9 at that point. And all the fear that goes with it. Once you realize that we're not immediately in trouble, obviously there was grave concerns about Chicago, and if big buildings were being attacked. The Tribune Tower.
People are saying that. I remember being in the building when they were saying we all should leave the building.
Yeah.
The Tribune Tower might also be one of the targets.
Yeah, well, it was shortly after that when security folks came through, where one of them told me that the Tribune Tower, after the then-named Sears Tower, was the second most likely attack point in Chicago because it was a major worldwide media company, and that would, again, be a message that terrorists would like to send if, in fact, there was an attack. But when all air traffic was shut down, I remember coming in on the Stevenson from the western suburbs, and there's a point prior to Midway where you're coming into the city on the Stevenson, and you kind of go up and over this little hill, a hill by Illinois standards, and the beautiful Chicago skyline comes into view. And to see the Sears Tower, the first thing you see after what you've seen on TV and you know what's going on in New York with nothing in the sky, all you could picture was a plane flying into that tower.
Yep.
And then it would be, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we heard a plane in the sky? You remember the first time you heard a plane?
Yeah, it was eerily quiet. Remember? Eerily quiet.
Amazing.
But I remember coming in that morning. I used to come into the office around 7 o'clock in the morning. And I would get there, and we all have TVs in the office. We put them on just so we can see if there's any breaking news, ironically, or anything going on that day. And I'm listening to Spike Odell, who was on in the morning then, with Tom Peterson, and they were watching the same thing I was, and it just looked like a private plane had crashed into the World Trade Center.
Yeah, like a horrible accident.
Yeah, and Spike and Tom on the air were talking about what's going on. It's like some, and I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and I said, some idiot just crashed a private plane into the World Trade Center, and then the second plane hit. And everybody realized that this was, that life was about to change as we knew it.
Do you guys remember what the big story was that morning before the planes hit?
No, I don't.
It was Michael Jordan about to return to the NBA with the Washington Wizards.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was the day there was going to be an announcement, but it never got announced because they put it off for a couple of weeks, obviously, with the events of the day.
Right. I remember we went to network program. We were almost solid network programming, which never happens on WGN ever.
Yeah, I was the first guy back on the air.
It was a very long time.
Maybe 1:30, quarter to 2, something like that, where we broke away from ABC.
Solid network programming covering it. And I remember just being in the office, as I'm sure a lot of people were in their workplaces, walking around in a daze, not knowing what do we do, what happens next. It was very bizarre. Very bizarre.
David's on line one. Let me grab this. David, you worked TV back then?
I worked TV back then. I worked for a TV news network, which I can't say. But I got a call that morning after everything went down in our job. When you were talking about driving into the city, we were on the other end of it. We had to rent a boat, and we went out onto Lake Michigan and spent the entirety of the day with cameras pointed at the city just in case.
Wow. What a horrible gig. I mean, we're horrible assignment at that point.
It was horrible, and it was also oddly peaceful because as you were sitting and looking at the city, I've never seen Chicago so quiet. And to your point earlier, Steve, there was no plane. So thank God nothing happened, but just the anxiety and the attention of sitting out there and just floating around, God forbid, waiting for something to happen. God it didn't, but it was one of those memories that rings forever.
No question. Thank you, David. I appreciate it and appreciate you listening as well.
My other vivid 9/11 memory was actually 6 months after 9/11. I happened to be in New York doing other things and really was sort of oblivious to the anniversary date, but it was the first time that they lit up those blue lights in Lower Manhattan. I just happened to be down there. I saw a crowd of people. What's going on? I went over and looked, and it was a crowd of survivors. And, boy, it just hit me like a ton of bricks suddenly as I'm standing and talking with people who are holding. Remember all the images of people holding pictures of their loved ones who are still missing?
Yep.
They were still holding pictures of their loved ones who had not been identified yet. And they lit up these two blue towers for the first time, Rudy Giuliani and the mayor governor of New York at the time. I don't remember who was governor at the time, but
Pataki.
I think it was. They were there. They flipped the switch and turned the beams on. And I remember spending the rest of the evening there just, you know, talking with people who were telling me stories about their loved ones and what they did in the World Trade Center and who they were and, you know, what it was like. And, you know, it becomes a significantly different story than hearing it on the radio or seeing it on TV.
I hope you'll have an opportunity at some point, if you have not yet, to get to New York City and go to the memorial. It is not an easy time, but it's something everybody should do, and it will remind you of when we all got along and we all rode the boat in the same direction.
Yeah, remember that.
More of that.
Remember that. There's a new HBO documentary that's premiering tonight at 8 o'clock Chicago time called In the Shadows of the Tower. It's the story of 8 high school students who went to Stuyvesant High School, just a few blocks away from the World Trade Center, when all of this happened. And it's this story from their perspective of being young kids in school and, you know, trying to negotiate this and deal with this and how it's changed their lives. It's a very moving documentary.
Sounds like it.
On tonight.
All right, we're back with more of Dean in a second.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard.
All right, back to Dean. Super short on time, unfortunately. But let me just ask you a couple quick entertainment stories, if you don't mind.
Yep.
The Wrigley Field concerts of 2020 have been announced, or at least the first one.
Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy are all going to be performing together. It's going to be August the 12th at Wrigley Field. And tickets are going to go on sale this coming a week from Friday, September 20th.
And that's the only one we know so far.
That's the only one that's been. It's an early announcement.
Is it?
When they announce, you know, before the actual year in which it's going to happen. That's that very early announcement.
And do we know who's going to do the Super Bowl halftime show for sure?
Looks like it's going to be Jennifer Lopez. She's in talks right now. Nobody is confirming it for sure, but that's what all the talk is right now.
I don't know.
Not happy with that?
She's great. She's beautiful. She's very talented. She can't sing. So, and since it's a music show for 15 minutes, I think that's an issue.
Okay.
So, it's good news for Madonna.
She speaks highly of you, too.
Do you think it's a good idea?
I think it's okay. Yeah. There's going to be so much flash and dancing and so much other than just singing going on.
Well, that's probably the problem. I know she's going to ask me to be one of her background dancers, and I don't know if I feel
like
it's going
to be awkward now.
Well, I remember when she did the Motown tribute at the Grammy Awards, she got some detractors as well.
Well, yeah. Some people said that it shouldn't have been. It should have been someone who was an African American person doing it. But I thought her performance was fine. I enjoyed it. Who would be better, Steve?
Can I get back to you on that?
I know you're.
I just want to be one of those people who bitch about something but have no answers.
I know you're a big fan of banjo music. Maybe that would be a good halftime.
That would be tremendous.
Anything with banjo would be good.
I love the banjo.
It'd be fantastic.
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
See you tomorrow.
That's Dean.